B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. On this Thursday, Mike will return tomorrow for Football Friday. A lot to get to once again. Flyers lose last night. Tough one, missing a lot of guys. But today, like every day, we have a word that the show is brought to you by, in addition to all our great sponsors. And that word is care. Care. C-A-R-E. What do we care about in Philadelphia sports? And then from that, what should we care about in Philadelphia sports? We start with the Eagles as they do prepare for Washington. Huge game. That doesn't change. Alshon on IR with a Liz Frank injury, which is a pretty serious injury. We know that Mills just missed a full year, basically, with his. Came back fine, but it took a full year. Howie guaranteed a lot of money. And it looks like if they're all different, but if his takes a year, he misses, obviously, the rest of this year and basically all of next year. But I saw on social media yesterday that there were people taking shots at one Carson Wentz. But not about football, because he just won a football game. People were taking shots at his gender reveal video because he shot guns and he hunts. People were knocking him on social media for his religion. Why do we care? Carson Wentz, as far as I know, has never done anything illegal or unkind to anyone. Today, he said, when he spoke to the media, he said all the right things about Alshon, despite the fact that the entire city thinks that Alshon is a backstabber. Now, if you don't like Carson Wentz as the quarterback because you don't think he's played well enough, I happen to disagree, but you are allowed to have that opinion. But why would you care that he is religious? And why do you care if he hunts? I don't think we should care. I think what we should care about is the Eagles having to pick up another practice squad wide receiver and going out and trying to win on Sunday so that the Dallas game becomes the playoff game. Robert Davis is his name. Don't ask me to tell you about whether or not he can play, because I don't know, and neither does anyone else. Joel Embiid spoke today, and we'll get to that. He responded to Charles Barkley and Shaq, and he responded in a very mature way. Much more mature than I would have responded, to be honest with you. I'd have told both those guys where to go. Straight up. I'd have told him, but he was humbled. He was humble, and when followed up, he actually opened up about how, with the regular season thing and the amount of injuries that he has, it seems like what's truly in his head and what he cares about is winning a championship, and he's trying to walk a tightrope of helping the team and staying healthy to help them in the playoffs. But instead, a lot of talk has been about body language and everything other than the fact that the team has won 11 of their last 13 games and another big one against Boston tonight. So why do we care about body language and not care about the fact that they've won 11 of their last 13 games? Explain it to me. I want to know. The Phillies. Yes, everything's on the table. This incomplete offseason so far. Rendon, who it was rumored that the Phillies were targeting him, he signs with the Angels for a lot of money. But the Phillies are supposed to have a lot of money. And instead, so far, you have a nice pitcher who I think will be better with the Phillies with good coaching. But he's not an ace up until this point. He's never been an ace. And a nice shortstop. there are still holes in the rotation, and you can make the argument that there's holes in the lineup. The Phillies, it seems like, are more interested in staying under the luxury tax than winning a World Series. Why should I care about their owner's money? Why should any of us care about their money? They're the ones who can't draft. They're the ones who have not developed people. That's on them. They also come out and say that my guy, I mean, he clearly is my guy. No one can deny that. Adam Haseley will be the everyday center fielder. But there's a problem that we really should care about that's still lingering, in that there's a certain center fielder from last season who was accused of leaving handprints in the throat of his girlfriend in Herrera. They haven't solved that yet. He's still on the team right now. Now, they had to bring him back by rule initially. Fine. But unlike last baseball offseason, things are happening fast. Remember how long it took for Harper to sign and Machado, and it took forever? This year, the owners, other than the Phillies, have opened up the checkbook. You saw the money Cole got. They still have a guy on their roster, on their 40-man, who they settled and they worked it out. But we pretty much know, pretty much, that he left handprints in the throat of his 19-year-old girlfriend. I care about that. But I don't care about their money. Spend into the tax to give your team a chance. So that's the word for today. Care. 610-632-0975. Now, I have two cuts in there, Andrew. One of them says Embiid response. So you'll hear Keith Pompey ask the question, and you'll hear Joel Embiid's response, which, again, was way more mature than it should have been.
Joel, what's your thoughts about Charles Barkley and Shaq saying about you criticizing you for your game?
That's what they do. Maybe they're right. But I do think they're right. I think I need to, be more aggressive. Just look to impose myself. Just look to dominate. I think the whole season I haven't done that. And then you can see the way it's affected my efficiency and my stats. So, I guess I need to go back to having fun and just dominate. But I get what they're saying, man. I think they're right, man. I got to make a change.
All right. So you see that. Very mature response. But the follow-up to me was more telling, because everyone will say, well, if you know you need to dominate, why aren't you dominating? And my other part is, why does he have to answer these questions about some guys who aren't in the league the day of a big game against the Celtics? To me, that's a distraction. But listen to his answer on the follow-up question and answer, and then I think it's a little bit more telling.
Now, is the reason just because you're not having fun? I mean, was it your knee, the off-season, or, I mean, what is it? Maybe not motivated enough in the regular season?
I've said earlier that, I want to get to the playoffs healthy. The last 2 years, I have not been healthy. I had 2 years ago, it was my face. And then last year, it was my knee.
You can stop it right there. Right there. He brings up, when they ask him, why has it been? Is it this, that, and the other thing? He said he's worried about being healthy. So while he had all the bluster at the start of the season about MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, that answer tells me what he cares about is what? Winning a championship and being there for his team in May and June more than being there for his team in December. So then the question becomes for all of you and all of us, do you care if Joel Embiid conserves himself more now if you know you'll get a healthy and more refreshed Joel Embiid when the playoffs come. Andrew, what say you?
Obviously, I want a more healthy and refreshed Joel Embiid, but I do have one concern.
What's that?
We have seen time and time again in the career of Joel Embiid that it takes a few games for him to get to the wherever he wants to be, right? In terms of
well, that's when he doesn't play. He's still shape. He's playing every game, though.
Yeah, but if he's not going 100%. So what I'm saying is, I don't know, maybe they have to have some sort of method where he starts going 100% the last five games of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, it's one thing if you're going through the motions.
Well, he's still out there. To me, I'm only concerned if he sits. If you're playing 30-plus minutes, you got to go up and down the court and play 30-plus minutes. That's never been the problem. The problem is when they shut him down for 3 days, he comes back and it's like it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's like he gained 40 pounds in 3 days.
Right.
Okay. So we're on the same boat there then.
Yeah.
But as long as he's playing.
As long as he's playing. So the phone number, 610-632-0975. What do you think about his response? I'd have told them both where to go. Straight up. I don't need to hear about them. I'm prepared for Boston. That's that. And then they'd be ripping me again tonight because he took the mature approach. But Carson Wentz, do you care about stuff other than him playing football? Do you care how he revealed the gender of his baby? Do you care what he does in the offseason? Do you care that he loves God? Because people on social media absolutely did. Do you care as much about the regular season as you do about the postseason when it comes to the Sixers? And do you care about body language more than you care about wins and losses as a Sixers fan? And the Phillies, do you care about Middleton's money? And do you care that they still currently have a guy on the roster into December who choked his girlfriend? Because I do. I don't care about his money, but I do care that that guy is still around. And I haven't heard him come out publicly and apologize. I haven't heard about any rehab program. I haven't heard anything, any reason to believe he's been rehabilitated. So I don't know why he's still here. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic,
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. He will be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line. Conklin, attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And it's time to open the Twitter poll. Brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Wondering what to get the family this year? Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. Give them their weekends back with the Husqvarna lawnmower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Check out the auto mower in person at their showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Ty. Over 300 votes on this one early. Do you care if Joel Embiid plays reserve during the season if he is healthy and refreshed for the playoffs? 40% say yes, 60% say no.
There you go. Now, he has to be smart. It's an 82-game season. Charles Barkley, even in his reign against them, mentioned that you can't play, quote-unquote, full out all those games and be 100%. And we've gotten to the point where the regular season matters so little and the playoffs matter so much. If Barkley was playing right now, he would take way more heat for not winning a title than he took during his real time. He got some heat. He would be, well, you know, he does all that stuff. He's all this brash stuff, but he doesn't win a title. What do they say about Harden? He doesn't do it in the playoffs. Even though he's playing magnificent in these regular seasons, the playoffs matter now more than ever before. So getting there, to me, healthy, is more important than just about everything else. As long as you also still have the number one defensive rating in the NBA at the same time. But the body language thing. All this conversation about body language has happened as the Sixers are in the midst of an 11-2 stretch. So, Andrew, before I get to the phones, help me out. The team's 11-2 over 13 games. I think that's fairly good. Yet there's more talk about where their shoulders are and if they're making eye contact and blah, 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 than the wins. When did we become like soap opera people as Philadelphia sports fans?
I have no idea. I think people always like the side story. Right. I think they always have liked the side story. They always like to see what else is going on aside from just the product on the field, because sports is the greatest reality show there is, right? Because you never know what the result's going to be. Right. It's nothing fake. It's all real. So with reality shows comes the drama as well, and people love the drama of sports as well. I think people are looking too deep into things. 11-2 in their last 13 games should be good enough. That's what we should be talking about. I think it is fair to say Joel Embiid hasn't played to his best ability, but as I said earlier, the fact that people are upset when they have gone 11-2 in their last 13 because they haven't played to their full potential yet, that's weird to me, because when they will play to their full potential, think about how good they'll be. They're pretty damn good now, and they haven't played to their full potential.
I think tonight will be only the 11th game, and we'll still have their full starting five for a full game. 11 games.
And they're on pace to close to 60 wins this year.
Right. And I think a stretch is coming. I know everybody like, oh, this is a must-win game. In the NBA, there are very few must-win games, unfortunately. That's the disadvantage of 82. It would be nice to go out there tonight on the road and beat Boston. But let's see how the game plays out. Let's see why they lose, if they lose. Let's see why they win before making these kind of declarations beforehand. That's all. Steven Downingtown, you're first up on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Hey, Tyrone, good job.
Thank you, Steve.
Other than what I know about this Robert Davis for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's 6'3", can run a 4.4 40.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know about, I've never seen him catch. I know he played a couple games for Redskins. I don't know if his hands are any good. I mean, can you tell me anything about him other than what I said?
No. I know that stuff, no, because he hasn't really played in the NFL. I guess we'll find out. The question is, though, will he want to be out there? Because I think one of the major problems this year, it seems like, with the Eagles is, some of these guys don't really want to be out there. Let's hope he's out there and hungry. I think he will be that. But the fact that this guy is 6'3" and runs a 4.4 and wasn't in the league should probably tell you a little something.
Yeah, but he was in the league. He played 3 games for Redskins.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about this year. He has he last played, what, in 2017?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I wondered, have you ever seen him?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No one's seen him. He could walk into the studio right now, and I wouldn't know if he was the custodian, the new boss, or a wide receiver. I would have no idea. I would kind of know he's not the new boss. But
I hope he's hungry. And can you give me any info on Malata?
On what?
The rugby player, Malata.
He's on IR.
It's still on IR.
Yeah.
Because of his back, huh?
Yeah, and I think they're trying to reserve designated to return spot for Deshaun in the second round of the playoffs, hypothetically. I mean, that could still happen. I mean, get to the playoffs first. Then if you win a home game, I tell you what. If the Eagles find a way to get in the playoffs and then find a way to win a playoff game, Deshaun Jackson really could be a difference maker in the second round of the playoffs. But the odds of them getting to the playoffs, I think, is fairly good. The odds of them beating a 12-win team at home, not as good, and then getting to the second round, that'd be tough. Oh, he played 3. All right. Dan Roach, he did play 3 games with the Redskins this year. He played 33 snaps, and he had 1 catch for 11 yards.
That's one more catch than Mac Hollins.
Yeah, so he's better than Mac Hollins.
Good. It's a good start.
Yeah, he's better than Mac Hollins.
Not that far off from Arthega Whiteside with that one catch.
No, I don't. But come on. Like, what do I know about him? No, I don't know anything about him.
He's a sixth round pick. I think maybe Georgia Southern. I think that's where he was.
So that would explain. But I'm saying when a guy's 6'3" and runs a 4.4, if he's not solid in the league, it's usually a reason. Hands, route running, something.
Yeah, it was like Doriel Green Beckham. Remember that? He was tall. He could move a little bit. Couldn't run a route.
And could only half catch in traffic. He could beat up on people. He was one of those guys that was a bully. Like when he was the best athlete, but forget about it any other time. He couldn't help you in any way. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're on the air,
sorry,
Jim.
About that. So, you know, I'm not sure that I completely agree with your stance on the Sixers in that 11-2, yeah, the last two, they played a nice consistent games, two in a row. They looked good doing it. They played well. You know, down the stretch a little bit in the last game, they sort of, you know, let up a little bit. But they played consistent basketball. But prior to that, you know, I know they won games, but, you know, when your team's hard to watch because they play ugly, because you're allegedly two best players turn it over like it's a hot potato, you know, I mean, that doesn't tell me that this is a team that is, you know, ready for the playoffs and going to be, and, you know, your cohort there said that, you know, well, they're going to get even better. And I'm like, well, how do you know that? I want to see it. And I haven't seen it yet. The consistency that you're looking for, if this is going to be a great team, and says this is not a great team.
Oh, okay.
It's a good team,
so you say, so
say
what about the Heat win when they beat the Heat 113-86 during
that's
this stretch?
Nice win. There's no doubt.
You didn't mention, no, you didn't mention that win. You didn't mention that one. I'm just making sure you remembered it. Do you remember that win?
No, absolutely.
Do you remember the 119-116 win over the Pacers? Do you remember that one?
I do.
The 103-94 win against the Jazz. Do you remember that one?
10 times in a row they've lost at Washington. Is that acceptable?
I know, it was a bad loss. Teams lose to bad teams.
And the Lakers don't.
The Lakers don't.
The Bucks don't.
The Bucks don't. Okay. So you're saying that the Bucks won't have a bad loss all year? You're saying the Bucks won't have a bad loss all year?
Come on, Tyrone. You're being ridiculous.
No, I'm not being ridiculous. I'm saying that you said, oh, they're winning, but, you know, I don't like the wins. You said that out loud, comfortably, like as a grown man.
I don't.
Like you said, I don't like the wins that much. I don't like the way they're winning. All right. And he said that they only had two wins, so I want to point out some of the other playoff teams that they beat in that stretch. They've beaten, so far this season, every Eastern Conference contender that they've played at least once, except the Bucks, who they have not played yet. And we will definitely find out about the Bucks. They play the Heat, two more times between now and the end of the year. So we'll find out if that one was a fluky. Find out. Then they play the Bucks on Christmas. That's a big one. People have that one circled. They play the Heat and the Pacers. Again, all these, it all shake out. But I'm saying we can't just look at it and go, well, they didn't win the way I want to, so my eyes tell me they're not good. Well, I don't know if I can trust your eyes. How do I know you don't need glasses and you're not wearing your corrective lenses? Like, how do I know that? We're talking on the radio. So I can't with that. If you want to say turnover thing or whatever, but this, I don't know if those wins were good wins against good teams. What? That's where we part ways.
Speaking of seeing things with your own eyes, Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philadelphia posted a video of Robert Davis at practice today. The ball hit him in the hands, and what did he do?
He caught it.
He did what?
He caught it.
Oh, play the breaking news. Play it.
And it was slightly behind him, and he caught it.
Wait, so he made an adjustment?
Yes.
He already is better.
And then kept running after making the catch.
Better than Mac Hollins. Might be better than Nelson. Nelson, whose knee somehow, we don't know the injury. We just know it happened in Minnesota. He re-aggravated when he dropped the pass against the Patriots, and it stopped getting better. But we don't know what the injury is.
It's a stalemate injury.
Right, but that's not a thing.
I know.
Is it a meniscus? Is it a ligament? Is it a bone bruise? Usually when
kneecap?
There's an injury, right, what is the injury, Nelson? What is the injury? Because he very well may be hurt, but when they play these games about, okay, so we already know that if someone was going to target his injury, they would hit him in the knee. We know that. But what is the injury? Is it a strained MCL? Like, what is the injury, Nelson? Because apparently it's a stalemate. It's just not getting better. Conveniently, during the free agent year, it's not getting better. I'm just wondering. Derek, Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty.
What's up, Derek?
I just had a couple, like, I just don't understand with Carson, like, why he takes so much criticism. Like, the guy is a great guy that does Foundation.
Yep.
I remember back in 2017, they had a whole documentary on him and Dutch Destroyer, how about that kid who died in his jersey and was buried in his jersey, and people were naming their kids Carson.
Yep.
That was like the most used name that year for naming sons of Carson. That was like, and it was like, he hit us with an epidemic, which was
You're
crazy.
Right. You're right about
and
that.
And then now all of a sudden, we're questioning his religion, we're questioning what he does with his wife and his their gender reveal. And I've never seen it from any QB in the league. Like, I've never seen it from Marcus Mariota. Nobody's questioned his religion or anything like that. Nobody's questioned any other of these QBs' religion, anything that
Carr Outen Oakland's a very religious man. Drew Brees is a very religious man down in New Orleans.
And I've never heard one thing about him and his religion about
Nick Foles was here and very religious, and no one questioned it. And he was here and very religious. And in fact, people thought he wasn't going to leave and he was going to stay as a backup because he didn't care about money, because that's how religious he was. People used to say that on this show all the time.
I don't understand. So you don't have an answer
for it, because it was all over. I saw NBC Sports Philadelphia. Ruben Frank was getting into it with people. I saw it all over social media yesterday, kind of organically out of nowhere, where people that are wondering where this came from, I'm just sitting around because there's no watching the Flyers game came on late, and they're on the road, and it wasn't on local TV. It was on the national feed. So you had that going on. No Sixers, obviously. No Eagles, obviously. Phillies didn't make any kind of move. So I just look on Twitter, and I see Wentz is trending. So I think, oh, no, did he get hurt? Did I miss something? No, it's people talking about how can he hunt in the offseason, their religion. And then I know at one point Ruben Frank said, well, did you have a problem with Foles being religious? And then the person went away. Where does this, like, why do we care when a guy does something, he does nothing but positive things. Like, if you think he hasn't been a good quarterback on the field, I will disagree with you. I think he's been fine, but I get it to a point. But it's really hard to wrap my mind around this kind of thing. You get where I'm, like, where does this come from, Andrew?
Yeah, and this was after he did what a lot of people were looking for. The comeback. The comeback win, the overtime win with the little pieces that he had. And then all of a sudden, instead of like, okay, you don't have to be standing on your chair celebrating, but instead of giving him kudos to playing well, they attack him for personal stuff. Out of nowhere, like you said, this was all organic. It wasn't like Ruben Frank posted a, hey, do you guys care if he's religious? No, it was literally somebody just tweeted at him like, oh, I don't like that he's so religious.
And then it turned into this whole thing, and they just won a game. If they beat Washington, the Dallas game is basically a playoff game. That's pretty exciting for me, especially where they were not too long ago. Think about where you were halftime of that Giants game, and now you know that you're now four quarters of football basically from a playoff game. That feels pretty good to me, but for some fans, it's like, well, how dare he shoot? I mean, he didn't shoot you. Like, he didn't shoot anyone.
We're complaining about that. Meanwhile, you mentioned the—I don't even like saying his name—but the center fielder for the Phillies. He's still around,
and people just go, "Oh well." Are there people out there that are okay if he was to come back?
Hope not.
He can't come back unless he. I mean, he can call in 610-632-0975 and lay out how he's rehabilitated himself. I'd like to hear it. I mean, I guess there are second chances in life. I don't know if I'm comfortable with a second chance off of that, but maybe he can convince me. Maybe he can sell it to the people. This is what I've done. I go to these meetings. I do this and that. I took this class. I'm seeing a doctor. But I haven't heard any of that. Murray in Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty.
What's up, Murray?
First, I just want to get this out the airways about the Sixers.
Yeah.
To the professionals, that finals and bust thing, don't say that. First, let's make it past the second round and get to the Eastern Conference playoffs.
No, it's finals or bust.
Finals or bust?
Yep. They have to get to the finals. I'm not taking any pressure off the Sixers. I'm saying, considering the roster and how infrequently they've played together, I think they're right on pace to get to the finals. We'll see what happens when they play the Bucks. They haven't played each other yet.
Yeah, but I think it's a whole new team. So
it's going to take some time. But the Lakers got a whole new team. Clippers got a lot of new players. Celtics got a lot of new players. No excuses over the long haul. Excuses in the short term. But the end goal hasn't changed. It's still finals or bust. I'm just saying you don't play in the finals in December. Finals won't be till June.
Right.
So, like, there's going to be growing pains along the way when you have a new roster. And I think their growing pains have been pretty natural growing pains for the most part.
All right.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and the body language thing, I think that's important to fans and to other opposing teams to let everybody know you're serious. Like, let's get out here and let's get this W. But even if you get the loss, like, just play hard. You got to show that you're playing hard.
Well, hold on. So people said his body language was bad against the Nuggets. They won the game by 5. So after the game, the body language still matters even after you win? Or this body language?
No, I'm just not talking about the Nuggets. I'm saying, are you play the Cavs? You know, is everything looking sync? I know you're going up against a top tier team in the Nuggets, but that should bring the best out of you.
But they won that game.
Play the same way how you had 32 or 40 against the Cavs.
Right, but they beat the Raptors the day after that Cavs win. Right after they won the game. Won the game, is my point. What I'm confused by is body language or no body language, winning. That's what I care about. Like, I body language or no body language. Like, I think this is something that happens in marriage. Well, actually, Andrew, you're newly married. I mean, I'm not like an OG married. I've been married 6 years. So I guess I'm an OG compared to your marriage.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is like 6 minutes.
Well,
at this point.
The 6 years I feel like is a lot nowadays too.
Yeah, maybe. So there are times when your spouse will want you to do something and you'll give them a bad body language, but as long as you get it done, then she's fine.
I did that last night.
Like, you're like, oh, God. But as long as it gets done, she can have an attitude. But if as long as the goal of, can you do this? And like, just ask like a... And one thing I can't stand quickly is when people say, do you want to? No, I honestly, you know what I want to do? Absolutely nothing.
Right.
Like, every time someone's asked me, do you want to grab that? No. You know what I want to do? Nothing.
No, I do not want to grab that.
No, I want to sit.
Yeah.
And around no one. And do nothing. That's what I want to do. So just ask me directly what you want me to do.
Yes.
So if you want me to get the bad body language, say, do you want to grab that trash?
No,
I don't want to. Do you need me to grab that trash? I'll do it, but don't ask me if I want to. But as long as if the trash gets moved, she doesn't care.
Right.
As long as they win, I don't care.
Yeah.
If they come out with terrible body language and they win by 15 over the Celtics, I'm going to be happy tomorrow. I don't care if Embiid's walking around like this. But if they win, I don't care.
And I don't understand. I don't understand why it impacts other people. As long as they're getting it done.
Just win tonight.
Who cares?
I don't care about this body language thing. I don't understand.
It's weird. It's so like hyper-focused on the non-essential, which is why we as Philadelphia sports fans are insane.
It's a thing that we have.
People are literally laying in bed at home like, I don't like Joel Embiid's body language. Like, what?
They're just laying there thinking about it. And Nuggets. Celtics coming up. I don't know, man. Where's that smiling? I don't care. Like, why do you care?
Watch, he'll have fun tonight and they'll lose.
Yeah, he'll have all this fun.
I know, and then they'll be like, take it seriously, would
you? Right, because you know we already gotten that.
Yeah.
He needs to be a lot more serious and grow up and mature. Well, this is his version of mature. And I gotta be honest, being mature is always boring.
He can't win.
Being mature, not just him. I hate being mature.
I know.
It's the most boring thing in the world.
It really is.
610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. That was Justin Timberlake, right?
I know, I'm grooving.
That's Justin Timberlake right there.
Someone just tweeted me and asked me if I could cabbage patch.
Can you cabbage patch?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just asking.
Can you?
Come on, man. Do everything.
Let's see you.
But come on.
He's talking about his cardboard box yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm talking about it. Do everything. Nothing I can't do. Today, the word of the day is care. What do we care about in Philadelphia sports and what should we care about? And there's been all the teams have been in the mix, except really the Flyers, because they're just kind of rolling along. That was only their second loss in their last eight, and they were without a bunch of guys. So it was a tough, and Colorado's a red-hot team. So tough loss last night. Sort of angst with the other three franchises. The Sixers' angst being the strangest, because if people had been right at the start of the season, they just teleported to now and found out they had won 11 of their last 13, you'd be like, oh, they're coming together. And instead, it's a lot of angst. And then there's Carson Wentz angst after the best performance of the season. And there's not enough Phillies angst about the offseason, which has been very shaky so far. It's been okay, but shaky compared to the big money teams. Look what the Yankees did. Yankees went and spent paper on a pitcher. They didn't mess around. 9 years. Look what the Angels just did. And unfortunately, when you don't draft well, you have to spend money. And the Yankees have drafted well. They still spent money.
I'm getting more and more concerned that they're going to start the season.
As is?
Well, with the fifth starter of either Velasquez or Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, I can't.
Or Cole Irvin.
If that's the case, then I can't go.
Because right now you got Nola, Wheeler, Arrieta. Eflin did good at parts last year.
Eflin, to me, if Eflin's the five, you have a pretty good rotation.
But if you have no one else, he'll probably be the four, and then it's either Velasquez or Pivetta or Cole Irvin. Because they said they're not going to bring up Spencer Howard to start the year.
No, they want to keep his innings down. So, all right. As long as they're not done, but they have to know. And the problem is we have to let them know. Because they don't do anything right on their own. Malik in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ty, what's good?
What's up, Malik?
First, I want to say about Carson Wentz, people need to leave him alone. Let him go and live his life during the offseason. Let him do what he want to do. Let him shoot the ducks. I don't care. As long as he pays for his stuff in the end, that's on him. Second thing, Robert Davis. He's going to be fine. He's better than everything we had.
Are you sure? What are you basing that on?
I've followed him. I'm a college football fan. I love the NFL, but my big dream was college football.
I got you.
A college football fan. He was good in college. He broke his leg. I think it was last preseason, and making a play in training camp, I believe, and got hit and broke his leg. So I think he's going to be better than what we had.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
Now I must go to the Sixers thing.
Yes,
the body language. One, he was playing in Denver. If I'm a basketball fan, too, played all three in high school. Body language in Denver from everybody who wins.
Nah, they were home. They were home for the last one against Denver.
They was home?
Yeah, they were home.
They was home?
Yeah.
Let me say this. Body language, I don't care. Like you said, win the game, and we're fine. I don't care if you have 2 points, 12 points, 20 points, or 40 points.
Win,
you know, that probably was his that probably was his mind frame. Like, well, damn, I didn't play all the minutes I could have. You know,
yeah, whatever it is, he was able to outplay Jokic and win the game, and that's all I care about. That's all I care about. I don't care how happy he is or everyone else is. To be completely honest, I'm a Sixers fan. I want the team to win.
You got to think about it. They still haven't even played over 250 minutes together.
Nope.
Starting five. So imagine. When they actually get together, I think they're the best team in the East, and probably once they play together, a top five in the whole league.
Well, I think they're already top five in the whole league. I already think that. Now, quickly, we know how Alshon. We're pretty sure we know how Alshon has been towards Carson Wentz. He's out for the season. They asked Carson Wentz about it, and you have the sound of what he said? I would like to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a great relationship with Alshon. You know, he's been an awesome teammate ever since he got here. I mean, when he first signed here, I mean, we went to dinner and we got to know each other. And, you know, we both had high expectations for each other. And, you know, it's been awesome getting to know him as a guy and as a teammate and seeing the plays he's been able to make over the years this year as well. I mean, I love that guy. And the injury is obviously really unfortunate.
Yeah, you ripped that guy. He got up there and lied on behalf of Alshon more powerfully than anybody could have possibly done.
I counted about four lies there.
He told about four lies up
making
there.
Good plays this year?
When?
Yeah, when? That's one lie.
Yep. Good. Hell of a teammate.
That's two lies. I mean, really enjoyed getting to know him. Maybe he did. Alshon didn't.
Alshon didn't. Yeah, I like you. Uh-huh. Hey, we're good friends. Yep. Like, those were the responses he was getting. I can't stand it. Yeah, that's the guy to rip. I refuse to do it. He is not the problem. All right, 610-632-0975 at 3:30. All right, start getting in your fantasy football questions at 975TheFanatic. Twitter, we'll get to them. Or you could do at Ty Johnson News. I won't ask you to spell Sal Chunas. So, but I mean, that's why, the only reason why we're not getting used to get your, you can start getting your fantasy football questions in, because we'll have Eric Carabel and more of your calls and more about what you care about in Philadelphia sports. Tyrone Johnson and for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.